Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us this morning, we're glad you found your way to this worshiping community. I'm hearing music. Is it just me? It is just me. Oh, look, see, a little accompaniment. It'll go well with the sermon later. Oh, goodness. A few of the ways that you can learn more about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin. It is full of worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Or you can also ask someone around you. They would be happy to answer your questions. There'll be an elder standing at the communion table to receive those as well. We have a few announcements this morning. First, I have good news to celebrate with you. Gates Presbyterian Church has become the recipient of the Presbytery of Genesee Valley Congregational Development Grant to help financially support the creation of our new community garden. This is good news. We already have a waiting list of GPCers who are very excited about growing their own vegetables and herbs here at church. What we are trying to do right now is gain some participation from our neighbors, especially over here in the apartments, and more information will be to come about this. But please mark your calendars. We have a build day of the garden, May 15th at 2 p.m. Would love to see you there to move some mulch. Sounds like a good plan. And dirt. So get your hands dirty. All right. And it feels like we just came back from Jamaica, but guess what? We'll be going again in 2017. And any interested seniors and their parents, please come to a Q&A today at 12:15 with Beth and Katie to learn more. All right, Tom, you're up.
Hola, buenos dias. Just wanted to let you know that the flowers will be here this Tuesday. So if you ordered flowers from our Guatemala mission, be sure to swing by probably anytime after 9 o'clock in the morning and pick up your flower. And also, again, just a request, we are going to be hosting Guatemalan visitors in June from the 22nd until about the 27th. They'll be in this area. So I'm looking for people that might want to help prepare breakfast. I'm going to check and see if we can do breakfast every morning down here at the church. Also, host families. It'd be nice if people could stay with some of the members of this congregation so that you could get to know them better and they know you better. A couple of them speak English very well, so I'm going to try to keep them paired up. So that shouldn't be a problem if that's what your concern is. Just see me if you're interested. Thanks.
Good morning. Jenny and I are the co-organizers of the flea market this year. Please save the date, June 4th, and we will have a sign-up sheet on the kiosk for the help that we're going to need to pull this off about the mid-May time frame.
I want to let you know where we are compared with last year, and part of that is to encourage you to say, anybody who participated last year, get your forms in this year if you want to, you know, come again this year. And anybody who didn't last year, you missed a good time. So come in and participate with us again. Last year on May 1st, we had 12 vendors reserved for 17 spaces. This year, we have 21 vendors, wow. 10 inside, 31 outside for 41 vendors.
Nice.
So we're doing very well. So come and reserve your space. The forms are out on the table in the narthex. We look forward to seeing them. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. When you get your coffee, and I'm going to encourage you to get coffee today. Today's a very special day. We have the ministry fair going on in the fellowship hall. We have wonderful cake. So come and get your coffee and your cake, and then please make your way around to the tables to see what's going on in our church and to see how you can help out. Thanks.
Did you say cake?
Mm.
All right, well, let us listen to the sounds of our tummy rumble until the cake, and let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
Thank you. Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Holy are you, O God of grace and mercy. May all the nations praise you, O God. May all the nations of the earth joyfully sing because God's justice is supreme. May the love that lights up the face of God shine with favor upon us and bless us, teaching God's way of living and loving so that we may witness to that love and grace. We gather to worship our wise and holy God. We are in awe and revere you for your saving works. We come together to seek your blessing, O God. Praise be to our generous and just God. Amen.
Start by acknowledging that we've tried to listen for God's call and tried to follow. We try, we don't always succeed in things we have done and things we've left undone. We have relied on our own wits rather than relying on the power and presence of God. We have not set apart the Sabbath, honoring God with our rest and renewal. We live in a world of gross iniquities. We've tried to be the voice of the voiceless, to be the hands and feet of God, but we don't always see through our world
to the peace that God promises, and we get tired. God, you know us through and through, at our best and at our worst, and still you seek us out. Grant us grace to be honest with ourselves and with you. God holds out the vision of hope and harmony and healing. It is ours again today. What we confess no longer has power over us. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. Makes it easy to get to the front when you sit up here, doesn't it? Hi. Good morning. Good morning, friends. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Good morning. So, none of you have ever been sick, right? Never. Oh, wait. How many of you been sick in the last, like, week? Some? How about the last, like, month? Oh, my gosh, it's been like the plague this past month, right? So much sickness all around. But usually you guys, when you're sick, you're only sick for, like, a couple days, maybe, like, a week, right? In the Bible story that we're reading this morning, a man has been sick for 38 years. You guys haven't even been alive that long. Can I tell you something? I haven't even been alive that long. Shh. He has been sick for a really, really long time. And back in the time of the Bible, they didn't have medicine to help people feel better. You know what they didn't have? They didn't have the pink stuff. Have you guys ever taken the pink stuff? Look at all those eyes. Everyone knows about the pink stuff. They didn't have the pink stuff back in the Bible. So what they believed, what people believed, is that there was a water, there was a pool that helped people to feel better. If they went into the water, they might feel better. But the man in our story, he's been laying here for a really long time. And every time he tries to get to the water, do you know what happens? What do you think, Graham? He gets sick again. He keeps being sick. And do you know that there are people who keep trying to elbow him out of the way? Have you guys ever been in a really long line and had people elbow you, try to get to the front? Does that happen at school, for lunch sometimes, maybe at Seabreeze? You're waiting in line, something really cool. But this poor man is sick. Oh, goodness, the ladybug has taken over the children's sermon. Come on, little thing. All right, I know, it's all right. We'll let him fly. There we go. Okay, no more ladybug. And in our story, Jesus comes, and he helps the man to get to the pool, the sick man, and helps him to feel better. And we are invited to follow Jesus and to learn to live like him, to notice those people who are getting that elbow in line, to be kind to them, to help people get to the front of the line. And also, when people are sick, to help them feel better. How could we help people feel better? May not want to hug them. No. But we could maybe bring them some soup. Send them a nice card, right? Right? Could help read them a book. There are some really nice ways to help our friends and our brothers. Yes, those people too. Feel better. Will you guys pray with me? Yes. Dear God, thank you for always being with us when we are sick or feeling left out. Amen. You guys have fun in Sunday school.
Comes from the book of Psalms, verse 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
Amen. Our second reading of the Word this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. And in these lay many invalids, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had been there a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Well, friends, congratulations. We have now made it through super, 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 super Tuesday. That's right. Super times seven of Tuesdays with round-the-clock media attention on the primary election. Though one news outlet claims it's only been round four because three of them weren't that important. But most of us are feeling like it's been going on way too long already. A few weeks ago, the New York Times described the primary here in New York as "the circus is coming home," noting that for the first time since 1988, New York hosted an impactful presidential primary. Needless to say, there were enough elephants and donkeys to go around at the circus. I'm not sure how many of you all went to the polls to cast your ballot, but whether you did or not, I'm guessing a fair generalization of the enthusiasm for participation in the world's oldest continual democracy was fairly negligible. In other words, amidst the general apathy, the influence of money in politics, the electoral college, gerrymandered congressional districts, and nonstop media attention on the circus, we're all kind of asking ourselves, why bother? I've asked myself that question plenty of times in the nearly two decades that I've been old enough to vote and participate in the democracy of this nation. You see, I grew up in a household that showed zero interest in politics, which may in part be due to the fact that half of my family is Canadian, and truth be told, no one showed much interest there either, unless you count fawning over the new Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, as politics. It wasn't until Matt and I were married that we made a pact that if he stopped micro-littering, I would register to vote. So we've both held to our end of the bargain and come away equally discouraged. If our little steps make any difference in the large scale of brokenness in the world. I mean, why bother to worry about a gum wrapper out a car window when tons and tons of trash arrives daily by train from New York City to this area, right? Why get involved with politics When all those politicians in Washington and Albany follow the money instead of the people anyway. Do we wish the situation was different? Sure. Do we want to do anything about it? Well, with all the dysfunction, cynicism, apathy in my own heart and in the heart of a lot of people, I find myself this morning being drawn to this man lying by the pool of Bethsaida and wondering if he feels similar in his situation. You see, rumor has it that when the waters bubbled up, angels stirred the pool. And the first to make it in, would be healed. So this man either crawled or was carried from wherever he came from that morning, hoping, longing to experience healing in his own life. Because he wanted to be healed, right? That's been his goal all along. Well, Jesus asks the question right out to him. Do you want to be healed? And we would think right away the man would burst out in gospel tent revival form. Yes, Jesus! Heal me, Jesus! Cue the portable electronic keyboard playing music in the background. See there, John, that was your cue. Oh, and the hooping and the hollering from all the onlookers. All right, so maybe a bunch of Presbyterians up in the Northeast, this isn't what we're going to think of first. So let's try the cynicism, despair, a little snarkiness in the man's heart. Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed? Perhaps all the man can do is snap back sarcastically. No, I don't want to be healed. My friends carry me here every day so I can pick up the ladies. Isn't it obvious? The sympathy card works wonders. I know, a little bit irreverent, perhaps, in talking about Jesus. But the man didn't know that this was Jesus. If we kept reading in chapter 5 of John's Gospel, we would learn that he didn't even know the man was Jesus. And in truth, the answer that the man gives when Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed, is not that far off the mark. Because he doesn't answer the question. There is no yes. He answers the question by finger pointing at everybody else. He says, oh, nobody will help me. And he tries to be healed. Those people, they get in the way. He implies everyone else is part of the problem. So why bother trying anymore? This man is paralyzed physically, but possibly emotionally and spiritually as well. The man, from his vantage point, laying there next to the pool, is unable to see the role he plays in his own healing. Several years ago, author and founder of the Center for Courage and Renewal, Parker Palmer, published a book called Healing the Heart of Democracy, The Courage to Create a Politics Worthy of the Human Spirit. And in the book, he wrote about his disabling experience with depression and how, as he slowly came back to life through the healing process, he gained new clarity about himself and the community he depended on, and his call to take steps to, in his words, re-engage with its politics and relearn how to hold its tensions in a life-giving way. The book, as I've read it, is Parker's response to Jesus' invitation, stand up, take your mat, walk, one foot in front of the other. Palmer lifts up how we can look at politics through the eyes of our heart, and it can liberate us from seeing it as a blame game of whack-a-mole. He joins his voice with those who believe that the human heart is the first home of democracy. It's the place where we embrace questions. We listen with our whole beings. And we resolve to act courageously, never giving up on the possibility to dream of healing, wholeness, of the life that God has for all God's people. So before anyone writes off Palmer, or me for that matter, as being too idealistic or naive, that healing is possible in the brokenness of our political system, Parker concludes Healing the Heart of Democracy by writing, "Full engagement in the movement called democracy requires no less of us, and full engagement in the living of our own lives. We carry the past with us, so we must understand its legacy of deep darkness as well as strong light. We can see the future only in imagination, so we must continue to dream of freedom, peace, and justice for everyone. Meanwhile, we live in the present moment with its tedium, its terror, its fears and hopes, its incomprehensible losses and its transcendent joys. It's a moment which it often feels as if nothing we do will make a difference. And yet so much depends on us. Do you want to be healed? Jesus asks. Do we want to be healed? William Sloan Coffin, great American preacher, in a sermon on a similar story in the Gospel of Mark, wondered the same thing. He preached, "If it is hell to be guilty, it is certainly scarier to be responsible." Response, able. Able to respond to God's visionary and creative love, no longer paralyzed. Our arms would be free to embrace the outcast and the enemy. No longer paralyzed, our feet would be free to walk out of any job that is harmful to others and meaningless to us. If we are healed, we can no longer finger point. As justified as we think the finger pointing might be. Because Jesus calls us to use our fingers to grab that mat, to get up, to walk forward to new life in Christ and get to work. To be healed means being made response able and involved in people's lives. In our community, in our schools, in our church, and yes, even in the political arena, the places where we are connected to the lives of other people. And this is especially true with the people who make us nervous, uncomfortable, and with whom we don't agree with. Because becoming deeply, honestly involved in the lives of others and in our larger world can end up breaking our hearts when it gets hard, and it will, or when things don't turn out the way we hope, because we know that sometimes they won't. We bother with that kind of deep involvement because it can end up making us realize that we are called to live more generously with what we have and more gently upon this earth to which God has entrusted to us. We bother with this kind of deep involvement in the world because it can end up causing us, the Christian community, to remember and claim through our baptism that we are not just linked with God, we are not just linked with each other, but we are totally connected and made real family with all of God's children, especially those we've become quite comfortable pointing our fingers at. So to be healed means not throwing the gum wrapper out the window. And restraining from micro-littering might not be enough without then hearing, truly hearing and listening to the concerns of those who are being impacted, literally, physically, through smell, all the trash that's coming into this region, but also the trash which I generate in my household every day. So to be healed means, yes, registering to vote. But voting might not be enough without sitting down with a friend or a family member or someone who has those different political views and really listening, not just to the rhetoric, not just to the donkeys and the elephants making noise, but really listening deeply to what the concerns of the American people are today. For if we are healed, if we are made response-able, our fingers will be too busy for finger-pointing. They will be gripped tightly around that mat, ready to follow the one who leads us into new life. May it be so. For you, for me, for all God's creation. Amen.
Of pain and wakefulness, days when strength
friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. For it was our Savior who invites those who trust him to share in this meal, this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his friends, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, O God. It is right and good and joyful, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, envisioning us to live in relationship with all creation and with you. We saw a different way, and instead we went after worthless things and went as far away as we could from you. Even though you brought us back time and time again, we chose to see ourselves at the center of the world. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified as your Son, Jesus came to reveal your presence in the world. We remember he sat with the excluded, stood by those who were grieving, and spoke words of assurance to all who would listen. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we sing of that mystery we call faith.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. With the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all of the days to come. Amen. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. He asks that we remember and to repeat again and again this act. And he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Drink. Do this in remembrance of me." We break the bread and we drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Christ Jesus, for the promises of new life made for each and every one of us. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of alleluias where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
We continue our time of worship, gathering those stirrings in our hearts, the prayers of joy, the prayers of concern that we entrust to one another to continue to pray throughout the week, and we know always is at the heart of God. If you have a prayer to share, we ask that you stand up if you're able, but make sure the microphone makes it close to your mouth so that we can hear you. Also, let us know who you are. Any prayers? You got to put your hand up if you want to share one, too. Any this morning? One in the back, too?
Janice Bilalovic. I'd like prayers for my sister, Gloria. She's been ill for about 3 weeks, or a little more, actually, and thought she was feeling better last Sunday, but they took her back in the hospital on Friday. They're still testing to figure out what they can do.
Prayers for her.
Dottie Madal, thank you so much for your prayers for my sister, Jean. She came through her surgery beautifully, and the cyst that was 10.5 pounds was benign. Mm. So we're very thankful.
Prayers of joy and thanksgiving.
Jerry Crandall. And back in July, we moved out here. And in November, I shared with you about a little boy. Got run over by a lawnmower. Had his intestines removed. He had a transplant in November. Doing extremely well, and he's been home for a couple months. If people watch Channel 10 on Friday, he was on there with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They flew him to Houston, and even the pilots on the plane fell in love with him too, and had he and his brother sit in the cockpit of the plane, and I can see him pushing those buttons, okay? But they flew him to Houston because his country group that he really loves is, I don't know, I'm not into this, but it's Florida Georgia Line or something like that. And so we got to see him and met with him, and he was having the time of his life. And I think on Monday, either at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and I don't know what time their flight comes in, but might even be 11 o'clock news, I think they're doing a follow-up on it, too. So his name is Jacob Bookmiller. He's a cute little guy, and God is good.
Prayers of joy and thanksgiving for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and continued prayers for his healing.
Kathy Wakeman, prayers for a dear friend who lost her brother to muscular dystrophy 6 months ago, and then her husband just passed away last night from leukemia.
Prayers for that family dealing with such loss. Glad.
I'd like to make an announcement, the passing of one of my sister's husband, the Gordon family. So I'd like to ask for your prayers. Appreciate that.
Prayers for the family in that loss and for you and Ione as you travel.
Sally Christensen. I'd like prayers for my sister and her children and her entire extended family on her former husband's side. My sister's nephew, 19 years old, was killed in a car accident last week, and obviously they're just devastated. Thanks.
Lots of prayers for the family. And prayers from our children this morning. I'm not seeing any other hands. Prayers of joys from our 4th and 5th and 6th graders for proms and birthdays, dance competitions. Prayers of concern for an uncle after a serious injury. Prayers for a sore shoulder from the 1st through 3rd graders. Prayers for Grandpa's hip surgery, still a little sore. Prayers of joy for a cousin's wedding. Prayers for a teacher who has a serious health problem. Prayers for all the kids who are sick. Prayers for dance competitions and going to grandma's to spend the night. For baseball games and parades. For all the great joy and activities our children experience with their families. We lift all those up. Our prayer this morning is a special one. Well, they're all special. But you may or may not have heard yesterday, a saint has gone on to the greater kingdom, the Reverend Daniel Berrigan, who is a Jesuit priest and poet and activist. He died yesterday at the age of 94. Man, and this guy epitomized the sermon for today. He preached and protested and spent a considerable amount of his life in prison for his leadership in nonviolent protests against the Vietnam War. And he spoke out against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And years later, he worked with AIDS patients in New York City. And so this prayer is a prayer that he wrote, and it's called Prayer for the Morning Headlines. Let us pray. Mercifully grant peace in our days. Through your help, may we be freed from present distress. Have mercy on women and children homeless in foul weather, ranting like bees among gutted barns and stiles. Have mercy on those like us, clinging one to another under fire, terror on terror, grapes the grape shot strikes. Have mercy on the dead, befouled, trodden like snow in hedges and thickets. Have mercy, dead man, whose grandiose, gentle hope died on the wing, whose body stood like a tree between strike and fall, stood like a cripple on his wooden crutch. We cry halt, we cry password, dishonored heart, remember and remind. The open sesame, from there to here, from innocence to us. Hiroshima, Dresden, Selma, Dachau. Into our history pass, seed, hope, flower, and peace. And we offer these prayers in the name of the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the honor. Let us now offer back to God that which God has entrusted to us as we receive the morning offering.
Dear Lord, you have blessed us. We are blessed with your spring flowers, we are blessed with sunny skies, and we are blessed with this time to share a meal together. Thank you for all that you give us so freely. Please use our gifts to help spread your word in Rochester, in our nation, in all nations. Continue to guide us in showing others your love. Amen.
Up, be healed. Know that this is what God intends for all of our lives. So may you go out into this world with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit. We know it takes quite a bit. Alleluia. Amen.
have my moments. I'm multitasking.
I'm not sure I can do that anymore.
Sure you can.